WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636. That is the telephone number here at the station. Write these numbers down. Plug them into your phone. 855-915-9636. You dial those numbers. You can be a part of the show, and we think you might want to.
Mm-hmm.
We love it when you call the show. You get to talk to Lisa, which is the coolest thing in the world.
The most important thing.
Yes, I get to do that every week. Now it is your turn. You get to talk to Lisa Nichols live on the air. 855-915-9636. Stick around. Coming up later tonight, we're going to be taking a look at Donald Trump's immigration activities.
He's been a very, very busy man.
Oh, boy. It's, you know, I keep sitting around thinking, oh, slow news week. And then, boom, something there else from the Trump administration comes along. And
we are
it's
never
anything
gonna
but.
Be hard to find a story.
Some sobering facts on the Trump immigration action.
Yes.
That you may find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. We had our WMFO staff meeting on Sunday. And Edward Buechert, I've been on his show. He hosts Plastic Sushi, Strawberries, Time, Garbanzo Beans, and a million other things on Friday night. The show keeps changing its name. I don't know what the heck the guy's doing. But he and I are not necessarily on the same political page.
Mm-hmm.
In much the way that Joel and I, Joel of On the Town with Mikey D, coming up at 9 o'clock tonight, are not on the same political page. And Edward walked up to me before the meeting on Sunday and was like, you know what? I thought your comments on, what were we talking about last week, on immigration and the wall and jobs were very interesting. And it's like, this is what we do over here. Okay, we're cutting through the hysteria.
We try to hush down your mainstream media and everything.
Yes.
And all the nonsense and give you practical information and knowledge.
Yes, that's really what it is, because Lord knows our mainstream media is not doing a very good job of it at the moment.
They're not your friends.
They're really not. They might be nice people, but they're not doing their jobs well.
Yeah.
And I don't say that through a partisan
lens.
Well, when
it comes down to giving information to the masses, one would think or require that job to be done proficiently, unbiased, and it's not.
I could take I can take bias if you at least get the facts right. And in some cases, that's not happening right now. So you got to take everything out there with a grain of salt. We are here to help you separate fact from fiction and to be as straightforward and candid with you as we possibly can. It's what we've been doing here for several years now. It's what we'll continue to do into the future. One other housekeeping note, an editorial correction. Last week, I forgot to mention that it was Lisa Nichols' birthday. And I have been beating myself up because of the start of the show.
If we actually don't announce it on air, I don't think I'm a year older. So let's just go with it and say that it didn't happen.
Yeah.
That birthday didn't exist.
At the start of the show, I'm sitting there and I'm like, Lisa's birthday, mention Lisa's birthday. And then a day later, I'm like, I didn't mention Lisa's birthday. So happy birthday.
Thank you
belated
so much.
To my beloved co-host. Yes. I would be nothing without you.
I'm another year older, unfortunately.
You don't look it.
Oh, thank you.
You look a year younger, if that's at all possible.
I love you. Maybe my contouring makeup. I don't know.
No, it's just you. It's just the awesomeness that is you.
Oh, you're such a charmer.
So what do we got going on in the world, Lisa?
Oh, well, in local news, we learned you now have more options when being picked up at the airport. Passengers arriving at Logan Airport now have a new way to get home after their flights have landed. Starting Wednesday morning, drivers for ride-hailing services, Uber and Lyft, are allowed to pick up passengers from the busy travel hub after both companies reached a deal with the Massachusetts Port Authority. Logan was last of the large airports in the country that didn't allow ride-sharing services. A bill signed by Governor Charlie Baker in August that regulated the services in Massachusetts also gave Massport the go-ahead to allow them in the airport. Not everyone is pleased with the decision. Metro cab taxi driver Kashif Ramon is afraid that the new rules will put him out of business. He says that there is legitimate reasons why the cabs cost more. Quote, we are professional drivers and we're going through rules and regulations, and Uber and Lyft don't have proper insurance, end quote. So Boston cab drivers, have said that the fares from the airport, that's one of their reliable sources of income, because before this morning, they were the only ones allowed to pick up other than a livery license or the UberX.
Yeah.
Now it is completely open. It is fair game. Whatever you want to call whatever ride sharing app that you have on your phone, you can now be picked up at the airport. This continues the conversation that we've had so many times on this show, that I am somebody, a complete opponent of these ride sharing, in the sense of ones that do not have proper requirements of having a livery license, which then require you to have special insurance to drive people around.
As it turns out, and you're not going to like what I'm about to say.
We're wrong?
I'm sorry. Wrong? We're not necessarily wrong, but
is there another loophole, you mean, in Massachusetts
no,
law?
I have a client who is a personal injury attorney.
Yes.
And people in the firm have been involved in suits against Uber and Lyft drivers, and it turns out, yes, they have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
They've got insurance. They don't have personal insurance. So you can't go after them, you know, there's a big question mark about whether or not that insurance policy...
But are we talking about 100% across the board?
Highly
unlikely.
Here's the thing. There's a big question about whether or not that insurance policy kicks in when they're on their way to or when they're on their way from picking somebody up,
mm-hmm.
okay? If they have a passenger in the car, that insurance policy actually works. And it actually pays out.
This is the $1 million umbrella.
Yes. Yeah, the $1 million umbrella insurance policy is actually a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you still have the questions about who's actually driving the vehicle. And they are now subject to, I believe, the same background searches and investigation as cab drivers. By the Boston Transportation Department. Was that not put in place last year?
This is, but the problem is it's not the same in every single state. For the fact that
right, but we're talking
Uber
about,
is not allowed.
We're talking about Massachusetts.
Yes.
So let's confine it to Massachusetts and the fact that these guys are at Logan Airport now.
Okay, so I will take the background checks, fingerprints, that it's happening here in Massachusetts. But what about the question of every other month checkups? Which everybody in the Hackney has to go through.
Oh, yeah.
That well, owns a cab.
Your cab can be as unmaintained as you want it to be, I believe.
So we're just okay with this?
Well, no, we're not okay with that, but...
I mean, basically what you're doing is you're shooting down every single thing that normally we were saying against Lyft and Uber and how it was bad.
Yeah. I'm saying that the insurance issue... is not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
If you are actually in an Uber, okay, and that Uber is picking you up legitimately, like you've called for it, and you get involved in an accident, you're going to be okay. That insurance policy is real, and it works.
But this must have changed as of recent, because...
I have this from an attorney who has prosecuted cases against that insurance policy.
And I know so many people that have gone into... some sort of court hearing, and they were telling me how many people were Uber drivers or Lyft drivers there for citations based off of non-insurance.
Right. Now, here's that's the driver not having insurance on their vehicle, which mm-hmm. is different from... Now, there are other issues involved in this, but if you're in Massachusetts, if you're in Boston, the Uber insurance policy is real, and it works. We have background checks on these guys in Boston now. They don't have the same requirement to maintain their vehicles. And as you just mentioned, you may be getting into a car with an unlicensed, uninsured driver.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're willing to take that risk...
Because I don't know the inside workings of Lyft or Uber, so
yeah.
I don't understand how far and how in-depth it goes into figuring out who is actually driving the cars for them. So
Not very.
That's what I would assume.
But this is why the Boston...
And that's why I assume, just based off of my knowledge of what's going on in multiple cities
right.
across the United States, where Lyft and Uber is not meeting state requirements
in Boston,
for basic things like fingerprints.
In Boston, they are. Because in Boston, you have to get a background check from the Boston Transportation Department now to be a driver for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
They passed that rule.
Well, that was one of the biggest things that Boston taxi drivers were pushing on. Why are they allowed to do this without any background checks? You have no idea who you're getting in. We hear stories all the time about people getting in the back of a car and being raped and sexually assaulted. It's slightly frightening. I'm still against it. But again, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say that I've never taken one, because I have. Have I personally ordered one? No.
Basically, the point that I'd make is that there are fewer arguments against it, but if you want a professional driver in a vehicle that is safe, because even though there may be insurance involved in this, and the insurance may work.
But I mean, is that like a, you know, maybe I'm going to hope that they have insurance once I get in?
No, that $1 million policy comes into play as soon as you get into an Uber or a Lyft. That $1 million insurance policy comes into play as soon as you get into that vehicle.
Is that Uber and Lyft are okay with hiring uninsured drivers because they have this $1 million umbrella that actually, in fact, does get enacted if there were to be a car accident?
If there is a car accident, that $1 million insurance policy will protect you and will pay your medical bills.
Even if it's an uninsured driver?
Even if it's, as far as I know, even if it's an uninsured driver. I can refer that question to my attorney friend, but look.
But I'm just trying to break down and saying that we're okay with a company allowing their
Insurance argument off the table.
Okay.
We can take the insurance argument off the table as a reason not to use Uber and Lyft. Okay? They have insurance. The insurance is real. Now, has the car been maintained? Does the driver actually have a license? Is the driver high? These are questions that you're not going to know if you're dealing with an Uber. If you get into a cab, the odds of you getting somebody in a vehicle that's about to fall apart with a drug-addled maniac behind the wheel is almost zero.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, anybody can, like, a cabbie could pull over in the middle of his shift, shoot up some heroin, and then decide to go back to work. That can happen.
No, and I mean, don't get me wrong, I do know many people that do drive for these ride-sharing. And they're good people. Yeah. They're not people that get behind the wheel and do what you just said.
But there's also some bums out there.
Of course.
You know, and if you get into a cab in Boston, the one thing that you can know for certain is that they have screened out the bums. The bums ain't working for the cab companies in Boston.
Well, especially the state that cabs are in right now. It's basically you're only maintaining a very small income.
Yeah.
So it's these people that have been in this business for a very long time that this is all they have. It's not somebody that's just did it for, you know, a year or two to try to get, you know, a cash flow. These people, this is their livelihood.
Right. They may be surly. They may lie and tell you the credit card machine is broken.
Yeah, no. And I mean, the whole system with taxis in Boston and in the Hackney Group, it's absurd. And the money, I mean, some people are now spending, you know, thousands of dollars just to rent a medallion because they can't even afford to purchase a medallion.
Well, there's an interesting thing that's happening because the value of taxi medallions is now starting to plummet across the country.
Well, before, it was so hard to attain one.
Yeah.
But now it is difficult to sell one.
Right. Because
but they also don't want to drop down the value too much because how much loss of cash you're going to have.
Well, there's a handful of people that bought up all the medallions, and they're multimillionaires, and they're sitting there, and they're, you know, basically enslaving drivers. Yeah, they're enslaving drivers to keep their pockets filled.
Mm-hmm.
So those days appear to be coming to an end, which may level the playing field a little bit. We'll see. You know, my bigger concern is that I believe it is the illegals who are coming from Mexico and getting all the Lyft and Uber jobs. Therefore, we need a wall. Is that what's happening in America right now?
Oh, there are drugs, rapists, and Uber drivers.
Well, we do know that there are some rapists working for Uber because we hear about somebody getting raped in an Uber every few months.
But that's just my biggest concern. I mean, just the sole fact of I don't know if it's a licensed driver and an uninsured driver.
And those are legitimate.
Regardless, if Uber actually does have the money to kick in this insurance policy. Yeah. That's a real thing.
You're definitely going to get a professional driver if you get into a cab. So that may be a deciding factor for you. You know, there is probably less chance of being in an accident if you're in a cab versus being in an Uber or a Lyft with a driver who may or may not be professional, somebody, you know, may or may not know what they're doing out there. But the insurance argument, forget about it.
What about the argument of Boston Medallion owners trying to get a bailout from the city and from the state, saying and accusing officials of getting money, especially for campaigns, from these big companies, which they have been known to do?
I believe there is an orifice I could recommend where the medallion owners put their medallions. And I think we know what orifice that is.
Yes.
So, no sympathy for them from me. In national news, if I can ever get this thing open, Republican members of the Senate Finance Committee suspended committee rules and sent the nominations of Steve Manchin for Treasury Secretary and Tom Price for Secretary of the Department of Health to the full Senate for a vote. The move came after Democrats on the committee boycotted the hearings for a second day, prompting Committee Chair Orrin Hatch to override a rule that requires at least one Democrat to be present before a nominee can be sent to the Senate floor for a full vote. Hatch lashed out at the absent Democrats, saying, quote, "They on their own accord refused to participate in this exercise. They have nobody to blame but themselves," end quote. A similar boycott derailed the nomination of EPA Secretary Scott Pruitt, but Republicans on that nominating committee adjourned rather than pushing the nomination forward. So, new trick from our Democrat friends. We're just not going to show up for the hearings.
What's interesting,
We're not even going to show up.
You also, I mean, you're not having problems solely with Democrats, Republicans as well, because Democrats obviously are expected to oppose Miss Betsy DeVos, who is trying to be the cabinet of education, and you now are having Republicans coming out and saying, we're going to side with the Democrats.
Yeah.
Democrats only need three Republicans, so essentially what happens after that, if they do get the three, then it will go to the vice president, who then can overrule it.
Well, Susan Collins of Maine is one of the Republicans who has said she won't back Betsy DeVos. Susan Collins is not quite a Republican. She's got an R next to her name, but what's going up on the up there in Maine is not typical Republican Democratic divide. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, I don't know where you take that. The other one who's flipped is from Alaska.
That Lisa Murkowski.
Yeah, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. She has a little bit more legitimacy.
She should know.
That's
about
a real Republican saying, I don't.
The grizzly bears coming into the schools, which DeVos was quite intent on pointing out why you need guns in schools.
But the issue doesn't seem to be the guns so much as the fact that Betsy DeVos has no education experience whatsoever.
Of course.
And that's a legitimate position for a senator to take. You're going to be Secretary of Education. You don't know anything about education.
You hear an announcement like that, that person being put into power as that cabinet, you kind of scratch your head and say, but how?
Yeah.
What has this person proven to show any relevant experience in education?
Yeah.
Kind of like,
yeah, and that's a legitimate position to take. So, yeah, if a few more Republicans flip, that's going to be it for Betsy DeVos. Mm-hmm. And Trump has to go find somebody else.
Now, going back to what you were saying, though, about
there's a difference between that and this.
Yes.
Which is these Democrats are sitting around and they're like, well, he hasn't answered this question and he hasn't answered that question and we think he lied. I think Senator Inhofe pointed out that the Democrats submitted over 1,000 questions to one of the nominees and said, that's ridiculous.
Of course.
You know, so
no, they're going by any way possible to make this as difficult of a process as possible.
Here's the problem. You don't have a majority in the Senate, and you don't have a majority in the House.
Exactly, but they do know that, and they're going to make this as painful as possible.
And they can sit around and stamp their feet all day long. They don't.
Half of them are children.
It just makes them look bad. Show up and do your job. Show up and vote no.
There's so many people in Washington that have that attitude, regardless of what the topic is. It's like little children, and they stomp their feet, and they cry, and nothing happens. There's so many times on this show where we're saying, why is this happening in Washington? Why can't anything be done? Because we vote in people like this that are not looking for, you know, what their constituents, what the people of their state want. It's pure personal interest. And that's the truth. So I
it's not necessarily, some of it is personal interest. Some of it is trying to look good. to the voters back home.
Of course, but that's personal interest.
Look at how strong I am. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. You don't look strong when you form a little conspiracy and don't show up for a hearing. You look like an idiot. What you do is you show up for the hearing and vote no so that you can go back to the district and say, hey, I voted against that guy. Mm-hmm.
How shameful is it when they have the statistics and reviews that come out and it shows state by state what your senators voted and what they didn't vote on and what they didn't even show up for?
Yeah.
Especially here in Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren and Markey, you don't do much. And occasionally you're available and raise your hand for something. But there's so many times where it's like, where were these people?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
And again, I present the question to you, why is nothing ever done in Washington because of things like this?
Well, because everybody's playing this game of brinksmanship all day long, and it doesn't advance anything. It doesn't do any good.
Mm-hmm.
All right? If you have a legitimate problem with a nominee that isn't, I don't like the way that he answered this question, or I need to know more about this, or some news outlet reported that this happened, show up and vote no. You know this nomination is going to the Senate floor either way. You know you can't stop it. If the Democrats think they somehow make Republicans look bad by suspending committee rules and just moving the nomination to the floor without the Democrats there, no. You're not making the Republicans look bad.
Mm-hmm.
You're making the Republicans look like people who are willing to keep the government moving despite your obstructionism.
You make the perfect point in saying it's basically showboating and looking what they think is looking good, because apparently that is more important to some of these senators than actually getting work done.
Well,
so it's listening to everything else around you and mainstream media being one.
Well, they're deluded enough to think that they're somehow going to reverse this in 2 years and take the Senate and the House back, which I get news for the Democrats as of right now, not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that CNN and other media outlets are nonstop cheerleaders for them doesn't help the situation any. We're going to get into some of this later tonight when we get into what's happening with Trump's executive order on immigration. Because there is a lot of misinformation floating around out there. And the media is, in many cases, pointing its cameras at the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
In an attempt to manipulate the way that you feel about this.
Now, if you had to look into that, you know, crystal ball that you have that generally can predict the future, where do you see this going? Do you see that all of Trump's cabinet picks are going to go into place? Are we going to have problems in certain ones?
I think Betsy DeVos might be on the outs. Mm-hmm. This might be it for her. And if we're using actual experience as a criteria for a nominee, I would say that probably jeopardizes Dr. Ben Carson as Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. As far as I know, he hasn't been approved yet.
Mm-hmm.
If he has been, I haven't heard about that. They did get the Secretary of State approved today.
Rex Tillerson.
So Rex Tillerson has got his job. Some other key cabinet positions have been approved. The reality is, if you're going to play games with something, you can play games with Treasury Secretary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You probably shouldn't be playing games with the Secretary of Health and Human Services, given that it is cold and flu season. We got some Zika floating around out in Puerto Rico and off the border. There's a mumps outbreak out in the western United States once again. We kind of need Health and Human Services doing their thing. So the American people aren't going to be sympathetic to you holding up a nominee on a vital government department. Treasury?
Meh.
It's not,
we can wait.
You know, it's not like the Fed isn't functioning.
Mm-hmm.
And the Fed actually, the Treasury sets policy. The Fed makes the government work. So the Fed is functional. The Fed is working. They're probably going to try and pull this with Jeff Sessions as well to try and block. But
so Jeff Sessions is taking over for Yates, who?
Well, Yates is out. I don't know who's running the Justice Department right now. Somebody is. But look, the Republicans can push this stuff through. They can push through the votes. And the Democrats are just going to look like a bunch of children who stood on the sidelines stamping their feet saying, no, 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 and didn't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
If this is Washington's idea of doing something, then it's a terrible idea and the optics are brutal.
Of course.
Get out of your echo chamber. Stop watching CNN. Go listen to what's being said by real people in the country. Here's a thought. Read the comments section on some CNN articles. Read the comments section in USA Today. Get an idea of what actual Americans who aren't Ivy League educated East and West Coast liberals are saying about what's happening in Washington right now. It will be eye-opening.
Mm-hmm.
And your party will be stronger for it. And I would like to see your party stronger. Because I don't want one party, no matter who it is, running this country. We have that in Massachusetts. And
look where that got us.
Yeah, when it works, it works. When it doesn't, it's not pretty. It's really not pretty. It is WMFO Medford in world news. Israeli settlers and armed forces clashed in the settlement of Amona today as government officials began the process of evicting people from a settlement declared illegal by Israel's Supreme Court. While the evictions are a victory for Palestinians who own the land, located near the city of Ramallah, they will do little to end the broader controversy over West Bank settlements. Israel announced last week that it plans to build 2,500 more homes in the West Bank, as well as 560 homes in East Jerusalem. Critics of the settlements call them one of the largest obstacles to peace in the region.
Mm-hmm.
So this actually goes back to an Israeli Supreme Court decision in 2014 that said the Amona settlement had to be gone, done, removed from the face of the earth by February 8th, 2016. As of yesterday, everybody's still living in their houses having a good time. As of today, the soldiers moved in and they're like, you're getting out of here. And the settlers reacted, as you might expect, throwing fists, throwing rocks, fires set.
Yeah, it's not a pretty scene now.
General scuffle.
Trump administration, from what we understand, does support Israel's West Bank expansion. He really hasn't commented on it a lot. I think in maybe early December when that was going through with Obama, one of his kind of like last things in siding with the UN to say, no, Israel, you can't do that.
Yeah.
He tweeted something like, Israel shouldn't be disrespected or dishonored. And, you know, most of the world doesn't agree with this, from what we understand, because that's what the UN is saying.
But nobody outside of Israel is okay with this.
Really, the big question is, what happens now?
Well, what happens now is Israel is going to put up more settlements. The Palestinians are going to set off more bombs and fire more mortars into
Jerusalem. So right now, how many settlements do you... There's, what, like about 100 settlements are on the hill?
Nobody can count.
Okay.
Nobody can count. If you go online, you can find time-lapse maps that show what the actual border of Israel should be and what it has become with the settlements. I happen to break with those in Washington who support Israel on this settlement issue. I agreed with Obama. All of those settlements should have been pulled back. Somebody needs to step in and tell Israel, you can't do this anymore. The problem that Israel has is, particularly right now, as tensions are rising globally, and as tensions between Islamic terror groups and Europeans are rising, there is a lot of anger being directed at the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So Jews in very large numbers are leaving Europe and going to Israel. Israel doesn't have any room for them. Israel wants more people coming in because the more people they have, the bigger the economy, the more power they have, it's the bigger the army. It all grows from your population. So they are more than willing to keep throwing up settlements all over the place. The problem is every settlement that they put up is another dagger in the heart of the peace process over there because the Palestinians still want their West Bank.
Mm-hmm. Well, essentially, that's the goal of the Palestinian one state. So could you even say that a two-state land could be viable? I mean, could that ever actually happen?
And maybe if you put up a wall. They've got a wall over there, but you need to put up
It seems unlikely.
You need to put up a wall that keeps Israel in.
Mm-hmm.
That says you can't build beyond this wall.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the government would have to find a way to evacuate and relocate what upwards of 800,000 people that were in these settlements and outposts. I mean, what do you do with that?
Well, this is where the Supreme Court decision is very interesting because it is not like the Israeli Supreme Court to declare one of these settlements illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And Israel's attorney general is not happy with it. Benjamin Netanyahu is not happy with it.
Netanyahu and many Israelis are blaming the Palestinians.
Yeah, nobody in Israel is happy with this decision. But the Supreme Court was like, you know what? The law says you stole that land over there. Mm-hmm. So that offers some hope for the Palestinians that you might be able to sue and get your land back. But then the question becomes, how far is the Israeli Supreme Court willing to go? And if you take people off of one piece of land and then go steal another piece of land and put them there, you haven't really solved the problem. You've just moved it to another part of town.
You're still going to have the same problems.
You're going to have exactly the same problems. And Israel really needs to be brought to heel with this expansion.
Well, Israel and Netanyahu specifically, they always point out in 2008, Palestinian leaders, they turned down this peace proposal that Israel offended to withdraw 93% of the West Bank. So there's so many workings of this timeline of it getting bad and then worse and more worse. So we're in a situation now that it's more fighting in the Middle East.
Well, there's another thing that's going on here, which is Israel, since Donald Trump's election, has greatly expanded its planning and its construction of settlements. Because they're operating under the idea that this administration is going to let them get away with things that the Obama administration would not let them get away with. They are not the only ones who are testing the response of the Trump administration. There are a lot of people testing the response of the Trump administration. Why? Because this happens every time we get a new president.
Of course.
And those of you who don't remember 8 years ago, when America was busy celebrating the election of Barack Obama and handing him Nobel Peace Prizes and the rest of this, this happens to every new president. Our allies and our enemies are going to poke at Washington to see what Washington does.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going to make their decisions for the next 4 years based on how we react to things.
I was going to say, anybody that's not doing the poking is obviously in the audience and watching.
Yeah.
And trying to see. Do you think that, because Trump has mentioned that he wants to respect Israel and move the embassy back to Jerusalem, which I honestly don't see happening anytime soon. Do you think that's actually going to happen?
Anybody's guess. And he's sort of backed down on it. I know there are a lot of people in the State Department who do not think it's a good idea, who would like to see it stay in Tel Aviv. Who knows? It's Donald Trump. He's going to do what he's going to do. Part of what he's doing right now is establishing himself and saying, I am in charge here, and this is the way things are going to be. So I don't think that move is going to happen anytime soon. It might. But there is this broader question of what's going to happen with Israel and the settlements. You don't necessarily want to be in a situation where it is the rest of the world against the United States and Israel.
Well, you have to take a step back and say, is this worth it?
Right. And
where you have, I mean, as you just pointed out, that pretty much nobody in the world agrees with anything other than Israel and what they're doing. And in Trump, you know, in a sound clip, in a tweet.
But we're talking about a very rich and powerful lobby in the United States. We're talking about one of our most loyal allies in the region. It gets complicated. It gets complicated. What I haven't seen out of Donald Trump so far is any sort of a commitment to the peace process between Israel and Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been any.
Well, I mean, tensions with us and Israel have been sort of questionable, even when we signed the Iran deal. That was another big slap in the face for Netanyahu and the people of Israel.
That was the cherry on top of Barack Obama's favoring the Palestinians Sunday, is what that was.
I thought the cherry on top was his last hurrah before he left office and was saying, no, I'm actually siding with the UN. I'm not agreeing with these new settlements in the West Bank.
By the way, that Iran deal was also sticking a finger in the eye of the Saudi Arabians.
Of course.
So, I supported that deal. I supported the Obama administration as far as containing
Israel.
Supported
to a point.
No, I said that the Iran deal was the best deal we were going to get. We had a seat at the table.
Exactly.
It opened a dialogue that wasn't there.
Now, because of this, do you think that it is going to rescind Jerusalem's seat at the table? Because for so many of these talks, they've always been there.
Israel is never going to completely cut ties with the United States. It can't.
No, of course not.
The second it is on its own in the Middle
East,
Egypt is rolling over the border.
Yep.
Morsi's like, can't wait. Mm-hmm. He's rolling over the border. Jordan will probably sit there and try and play peacemaker, but Egypt is rolling over the border. And then you get a war on your hands. So, to some extent, the rest of the world sits back and lets the United States and Israel more or less figure out what they're going to do in that part of the world. But it's been known for a very long time that the United Nations and the members of the United Nations are deeply opposed to further construction of Israeli settlements and actually want to see the settlements rolled back. They want to see Israel's borders rolled back to a period before the 1967 war.
Mm-hmm.
Because Israel now has land that it was never granted. And the Palestinians are like, that's our land. We want that land back. That is the nature of the conflict between the two of them. And if the Israelis were sensible, they'd back down and they'd let the Palestinians have the land and you might have an actual shot at peace over there. Israelis have not proven to be sensible on this issue.
It's crazy because it's just another situation where it's more unrest in this very already volatile area.
Yeah.
And it's unique because the United States is put in this position, especially with a new administration, going in and saying, where do you pick and choose your battles? How far can the United States, how far can Trump go without getting too much into the conflict and still maintaining a backseat?
Well, we're in it one way or another. The question, the broader question is, which side are you going to support in all of this? Are you going to support the Palestinians or are you going to support the Israelis?
Where does Russia sit on this?
Russia doesn't care. Russia sits back and laughs.
I mean, well, especially in most recent time, they've been having their hand in so many of these conflicts and trying to act as peace or essentially play peacemaker.
Yeah, but Russia is involved in those conflicts because of domestic pressures that it has. Okay? Russia has its own homegrown Muslim terrorists up in Chechnya. And anything that emboldens Al-Qaeda, anything that emboldens ISIS, creates problems at home for Vladimir Putin and the senior government in Russia because it gets the Chechenians all hopped up. And then the Chechenians are coming back into Moscow and killing people and hijacking schools and massacring people and hijacking theaters. And the Russians are killing people, trying to get them out. They don't want this.
Mm-hmm.
Russia knows they can't have this because that leads to unrest.
So Russia's smart and only gets involved when it affects them.
Russia goes and sticks its nose in things like Syria and Turkey and things that are immediately dangerous to them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a horse in the Israel-Palestinian game, and they don't care. Russia has never shown any particular interest in backing one side or the other in that thing. I think they rightfully recognize it as a millstone around the neck of the United States, and they're happy to let us drown.
So that's exactly where you just said it's going to be a situation where people are going to watch to see what we do.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure, just as you said, Russia is sitting there. Waiting.
Well, the Israelis have basically said, let's announce a bunch of settlements and see if the Americans do anything about it. That's what's happening. Iran fires off a missile and says, let's see what the Americans do about it. We don't know what the response to that is, other than that they have been put on notice. We have put the Iranians on notice. Now, behind the scenes, somebody at the State Department has called Iran's foreign minister, and there has probably been an ambassador summoned either to the White House or to the State Department.
And wondering what the heck is going on.
And told in no uncertain terms that we're going to punish you for this. We're either going to cancel the nuclear deal, or we're going to put new sanctions on you guys, or we're going to do something. We're rolling warships into the Gulf.
In a time where we just pulled back pretty much every sanction.
Publicly, the Trump administration isn't saying what they're doing about this.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing nothing.
Of course.
But this, once again, this is Iran saying, okay, new administration, let's see what they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. That's why they fire off the missile. North Korea will probably be firing off some missiles in another week or two. Because it's what they do.
Kim Jong-un needs to get his fix of sitting on top of his big nuke and making sure that it still turns on.
Let's fire some missiles and see what the Americans do. That's what all of this is about. And this, by the way, plays into the executive order on immigration, which we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Well, today in sports, we learned there's some words the NFL doesn't want you to hear. The NFL seems to have built a virtual wall around New England Patriots when it comes to public discussion of lightning rod topics to the team. President Trump, a friend of the team's owner, coach, and star quarterback, and Roger Goodell, the league's commissioner who punished the team for a cheating investigation. At a primetime event on Monday called Opening Night, in which reporters receive access to the participants in Sunday's Super Bowl, hundreds of reporters peppered members of the teams with all matters of questions, including what they thought of Trump and Goodell. But when the NFL posted transcripts of the interviews with members of the Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons, and the word with the Atlanta Falcons, there were almost no references to Trump or Goodell. Of the transcripts provided with the interviews of 26 of the Patriots players and coaches and 28 of the Atlanta Falcons players and coaches, the name Trump does not appear in any of them, and the word president appears only in reference to the team's presidents, despite reporters having asked about him. The name Goodell appears only just once. So, of course, we need some buzz story with, again, fake news and not very exciting. This actually isn't the first time that this has happened. You may have remembered when we played the Seattle Seahawks 2 years ago when they were interviewing.
They're bad people.
Yeah. When they were interviewing Richard Sherman, asking him about his opinion on Robert Kraft and his relationship with Roger Goodell. Many of these weren't found in the transcripts. It's not shocking. I think it's the NFL's dream to have a coach like Bill Belichick who kind of puts aside all of these questions and just says,
well,
you know,
in the case of Brady and Belichick both, neither one of them answered any questions about Donald Trump.
Yes.
Here's the thing.
And rightfully so.
The NFL is not a news organization, okay? The NFL provides the transcripts as a marketing tool. And because they are their transcripts from their players, they're free to put anything that they want in there. Mm-hmm. And they're free to leave anything they want out of there. And they're doing this so that they can separate the politics from the Super Bowl so that we can actually enjoy a football game this weekend and not talk about how much we hate
exactly. Everyone
who disagrees with us.
Mm-hmm. No, they're trying to look for those talking points where you had, you know, the wide receiver for the Falcons and him saying that there's no way that a Patriot is going to beat me man to man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're looking for. Those are the...
Was that Julio Jones said that?
Yes.
He's correct. He is correct.
Which is true, and that is why we are going to double team him.
There is no way that any safety or corner in the NFL is going to beat Julio Jones man on man. And if we try and run man coverage on Julio Jones, we are going to lose the game because Julio Jones is a beast. He's the best wide receiver in the NFL right now.
And it's,
I would suggest that Julio Jones watch some film illustrating how we treated Antonio Brown a couple of weeks ago, because that's what he gets to look forward to on Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's another non-story that they're trying to pump up, or at least media is trying to say, look what the NFL is trying to do, because, of course, they have a black shadow on them, and there's nothing better to bring it up when you have, it's a perfect combination. You have a team that was completely shunned by Goodell and punished, wrongfully so, and it's perfect narrative.
Even we're deflated.
So, of course, when they hear this and say, oh, they're trying to take it out all the transcripts of the Patriots. Yeah. Patriots don't want to mention, you know, their BFF Trump or Roger Goodell. It happens every single year, just like they didn't want to have any conversations with the players with their opinion on the Ray Rice violence and consequences.
Is the ACLU going to intervene on behalf of Tom Brady's father?
Are they going to sue the White House?
Who has been muzzled by Tom Brady after his comments about Goodell?
Well, Barstool Sports is all up in arms, all angry, because they were blocked out.
Yeah, they're a bunch of idiots.
Of course.
They're lovable idiots,
it's
but they're
funny
idiots.
How they play it off like a pro-patriots
yeah.
media.
No.
That's like you and I trying to get press passes.
Yeah. No. You and I could get press passes.
For the Oscars.
Because what happened to the idiots?
Because we talk about
Because
it.
What happened to the idiots at Barstool Sports is four of them went down to New York and had a sit-in protest at NFL headquarters over Deflategate. And when they were asked to leave, they didn't. And the NFL had to call the police to get them out of the building.
It was like, no.
So when they applied for their credentials, the NFL was like, we don't give credentials to people who...
You again?
They used the word antics, I believe. The word antics was used to describe what Barstool did. So it's like, don't turn around and play all butthurt and be like, oh, the NFL is discriminating against us because we're pro-patriots. No, they're discriminating against you because you got your butts hauled out of NFL headquarters for protesting on private property. Mm-hmm. Don't be dumb. I may find it hilarious. I may appreciate the gesture, but understand that if you're going to do things like that, you're going to suffer some consequences for it.
They're shunning
yeah.
Boston media.
Let me tell you something.
Hard-hitting.
Barstool Sports, not a legitimate news outlet.
No, it's not hard-hitting.
Smoke show of the week is not
sports
news.
Beat writers?
No. Not a real news outlet. And
so
by the
strange.
Way, the NFL, also, not a real news outlet. Okay? If reporters have questions... It is up to the reporters to turn around and report that. And they should have it in their newspapers. And they should have it on their websites or in their podcasts or in their blogs or on a USB drive that they insert anally. I don't know how they disseminate the news anymore. Whatever they choose to do with it. It is not the NFL's job to take every question from every reporter and put it in the transcript. Guess what? They have never done that. Nothing has changed.
Verbatim every question.
Mm-hmm. Nothing to see here. This is standard operating procedure. You know what else is standard operating procedure? Israel building settlements. Iran setting off a ballistic missile. Terrorists trying to get into the United States. These are things that always happen. But the media, in its ongoing hysteria about all things Trump, has to blow this out of all proportion. The NFL is pro-Trump and they're trying to hide the... the NFL is trying to hold a freaking football
it's
game.
Crazy. And exactly
everybody
like
can...
you just said, they're trying to create basically this package dossier
yeah.
so the people that don't or are unable to get credentials for it are able to report it in a simple manner.
Guess what? A lot of Americans don't want to hear about it.
It's truth.
They just want to watch some freaking football. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you how much I hate the Super Bowl, by the way?
I'm really excited for the halftime show.
Can I tell you how much I hate this? I hate the Super Bowl.
Why does your agita kick in?
No. Because it means there's no football for 6 months. Mm. That's it.
Sad.
Take one game and then no football. I hate the Super Bowl.
Your favorite, baseball, is coming back.
Oh, great. Boy, big yips. Can't get excited enough for the return of baseball season.
Yep. Well, in food news, we learned researchers found another reason for you, Derek, to avoid fast food. Chemicals that have been associated with cancer and other health problems have been found in some fast food packaging, according to a new study. Researchers found the substance in which can leach into food in sandwich and dessert wrappers and paperboard containers. The chemicals per- and polyfluorocarbyl substances, PFSAs, are used in nonstick, stain-resistant, and waterproof products. Fast food packaging manufacturers might use them to keep sauces or grease from leaking through the wrapper. Some of the substances in this category are associated with kidney and testicular cancer, low birth weight, thyroid disease, and immunotoxicity.
Immunotoxicity.
In children, among other outcomes. It was a tough one.
Immunotoxicity. You can take the girl out of the town, but you can't take the townie out of the girl. What's the immunotoxicity? Hey, give me a pack of Marlboros and some scratchies.
Yeah, I'm from Charlestown, apparently, now. Laurel Schrader, one of the study's authors and her team, tested wrappers from 27 fast food companies, including McDonald's, Wendy's, Starbucks, and Panera. One third of all samples tested contained detectable concentrations of fluorine, a marker for the PFASs. So before anybody panics, you know, you're not going to die if you eat fast food. Probably the salt, the fat, that's going to kill you before this. You know, the author does note that it's really difficult to find the link between the food and it how these chemicals are embedded into it. We just know that it's there.
Well, the interesting thing is none of these show up in the lids and none of these show up in the paper cups that they use. Mm-hmm. So if you get your Big Mac in a cup or between a couple of lids, you're
so
all good. You're all good. You don't have to worry about this.
One of the industry groups that represents many of the manufacturers of these chemicals, of course, are like, no, everything's fine. It's interesting because there's two different kinds. There's long-term and short-term. They're saying that most of all this packaging is using these short-term chemicals that completely get out of your body.
Short chain.
Yeah. So, short chain.
They've fallen back on that old line of, well, everything we manufacture complies with U.S. Department of Agriculture and FDA limits on the chemicals in the food that we eat. And it's like, as soon as I hear that, I'm like, oh, boy. You know, second to last refuge of a scoundrel. Last refuge of a scoundrel is you change your company name. Second to last refuge of a scoundrel, well, the FDA says we can do it. Don't take the FDA's word on anything, okay? They have no idea what they're doing up there.
But I mean, isn't a logical, intelligent person that is getting fast food understanding that maybe, just maybe, this isn't the most healthiest thing that I'm going to put in my body, regardless of what chemicals are wrapped in the packaging or seeping into my burger?
I think
if you have packaging that's trying to hold back the grease, that's your first.
They didn't say which fast food chains, which might be good science, but it's bad for the American people. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to Burger King or you're going to McDonald's and you're getting the Grand Mal, Grand Mac, and you know it turns out that the wrapper is slathered in dangerous chemicals, who cares? You know, diabetes is going to get you long before those chemicals do. But, you know, if you're going to Panera, if you're going to Chipotle, I don't know why you're going to Chipotle, and you're getting the healthy food, and you find out that's slathered with chemicals, yeah, then you might be a little bit upset about this. You know, and the one, they did say two things about this. Number one, the length of time the stuff is in contact with the food affects the chemical transfer. So If you get your burger out of the wrapper quickly, you get less chemicals. The other thing that they said is this research was done in 2014, I believe. And they have reformulated some of these chemicals so that they no longer have the most dangerous elements in them.
Less harmful, less toxic.
Now, the good thing about this report is it basically is the jumping off point for dialogue. Consumers should be asking McDonald's and Burger King, but in particular Panera and Chipotle and Obon Pan and Starbucks, places that claim to be using all natural, healthy, organic. Subway is another one. What do you got in your wrappers?
Absolutely. And I mean, you think about just going through those restaurants that you named and understanding if you get anything to go, it's generally in the same sort of type of packaging or paper, or it has that kind of slick feeling on the inside and it's more paper-like on the outside. It makes a question.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the bad stuff, though. And this is
you might be wrong, because Chipotle wraps it in aluminum foil.
Do they? Like 100% of the time?
Yeah. No, or at least the aluminum foil is first.
There's stuff that comes in bowls.
That's true. But none of this stuff is in bowls.
What about the Euros? What's up with the Euros I'm getting in my sub shop? That's wrapped up. That's in a little food bag thing.
Yeah, but I'm just saying Chipotle. They might be onto one thing that may not harm you.
They got stuff in bowls. Those paper bowls might be, you don't know.
The plastic?
Yeah. You don't know.
I would worry about the E. coli before the chemicals.
Listen, I gave you a lot of reasons why I would not eat at a Chipotle. The chemicals are probably the last one. Mm-hmm. The minimum wage food service employees who come to work when they're sick are probably reason number one.
Yeah.
This is something where consumers can affect change. This is something where consumers need to go to McDonald's, go on their Facebook page, you know, get on their Twitter and be like, you got chemicals in your wrappers, guys? I want to know about the chemicals in the wrappers. Because if enough people start doing that, then they have to respond. And then they have to come forward. And then if they're using the bad stuff and people are like, I'm not eating your burgers anymore. And the Grand Mouse, the Grand Mac sales go down. They'll be like, oh, we better stop using the chemicals in the wrappers. It works. It really, really works. In technology news, Mark Zuckerberg will not be reaching for his wallet. A jury found Facebook-owned Oculus, makers of the Oculus Rift virtual reality system, liable for violating a non-disclosure agreement and guilty of copyright infringement. The case was brought by ZeniMax Media, who accused Oculus founder Palmer Luckey of stealing employee and trade secrets before selling his technology to Facebook. The jury awarded $500 million to ZeniMax, including a $50 million award levied against Luckey, but did not issue any fines against Facebook. So Facebook skates. Mark Zuckerberg can forget who ZeniMax is because he never heard. Maybe he still doesn't know who ZeniMax is.
Now, last time you talked about it on the show, you were saying how a lot of people that used to work for this company then started working for Facebook.
Yeah.
But Zuckerberg was trying to testify and say, oh, I had no idea what that company was.
Well,
or even that it existed.
This is basically what the jury said, is like, whatever happened between ZeniMax and Oculus happened between ZeniMax and Oculus. Mm-hmm. Facebook either was not aware of this at the time when they bought the company or was not a direct participant in any of this. However, the one thing that Oculus skated on was stealing trade secrets, because one of their employees had admitted, yes, I took code. Yes, I took emails that had bits of code in it. That seemed to be a pretty slam dunk case for theft of trade secrets. The jury did not agree with that.
One would assume that, I'm sure that happens a lot, especially in the tech business. It's just a matter of if you're going to link up with somebody that is going to be so profitable that another company can
in the way what's described in that deposition is actually a very common thing. People grab code from each other all the time.
Of course.
Where it becomes a problem,
especially in tech.
Where it becomes a problem is when you are developing a product for one company and then you leave and you go and develop the same product for someone else. All that code that you wrote for the other company is the other company's intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
So ZeniMax, in theory, owns all of that code.
So essentially, if you were with that company and you did create that, that is not yours.
Correct.
You cannot leave and take that with you and use your... But how did...